This episode, we have three of the creepiest mysteries you will ever hear. Prepare yourself, because it's about to get very eerie. She thought her house was haunted, but actually, it was something so much worse. This is one of the most unsettling true crime cases you've probably never heard of. On a chilly October day in Denver, Colorado, a man named Theodore Conies broke into a quiet family home. He was standing in the kitchen, raiding the freezer, when the homeowner, Philip Peters, walked in. What happened next was violent. Philip was attacked, beaten to death. And when it was over, Theodore Conies didn't leave. Instead, he climbed up into the attic and stayed there for months, while Philip's wife, Helen, continued living in the home, cooking meals, sleeping at night, completely unaware that her husband's killer was just above her ceiling. At first, Helen noticed small things. Strange sounds late at night, food going missing, objects being moved. She would find doors open in her house when she knew she had shut them. Lights turned on. Then the noises got worse. Footsteps, scraping, movement in the ceiling. She told herself she was grieving. This was stress. But the noises didn't stop, and for months, Helen lived with the feeling that she wasn't alone. She believed her house was haunted. And all that time, a killer was in the attic, hiding during the day and creeping around late at night while Helen was asleep. He'd walk past her bedroom at night and see her sleeping. That is so creepy. Terrified, Helen eventually moved out of the house, but Theodore Conies stayed behind. Neighbors finally reported suspicious activity inside the empty house. Lights, sounds, movement. Police searched it, and in the attic, they found a tall, skeletal man who had been living amongst dust, webs, and spiders. In the press, they called him the Denver Spider-Man. Papers in 1941 published the story, and locals were horrified. Because he didn't just hide in the attic, he made it his home. Imagine grieving your husband, police are out searching for his killer, and the entire time, he's in your attic, watching you sleep at night. A nightmare. Do you think you would notice if someone was living in your house for months? On January 2nd, 2000, 18-year-old Zeb Quinn from Asheville, North Carolina, met up with his coworker, Robert Jason Owens. He had promised to show Zeb Quinn a car he might want to buy. Zeb followed Owens in his Mazda Protege. Before they reached their destination, the two stopped at a gas station to buy sodas. And this was the last time Zeb Quinn was ever seen. His mom was worried sick when Zeb never made it home that night, and the search for him began. 4 days later, Zeb's car was found abandoned in a parking lot of a barbecue restaurant. The headlights were still on, but what police found inside is truly disturbing. Inside, officers discovered a Labrador puppy still alive, drink bottles, a jacket that didn't belong to Zeb, and a hotel keycard linked to no known stay. And there was something else, a bizarre lipstick mouth drawn on the back window. Witnesses then came forward saying they saw a mysterious woman driving Zeb's car around town. Police then released this composite sketch. The sketch looked eerily similar to Misty Taylor, a woman Zeb had befriended just weeks earlier. When questioned about that last outing, Owens told investigators that Zeb had suddenly received an urgent page from his aunt and needed to rush home. But Zeb's aunt said something chilling. She never called him. She was eating dinner that night at the home of Misty Taylor's mother, and Misty and her boyfriend were there too. And it gets even stranger. Zeb's aunt's house was broken into that same night. Nothing was stolen, but items were moved, as if someone had been inside looking for something. For years, investigators suspected Owens, but they never found Zeb Quinn, so the case went cold. Until 2015, Owens was arrested for the brutal murder of Food Network contestant Christy Schoen Codd, her unborn child, and husband. He was convicted of 3 counts of murder. And during that investigation, investigators learned Owens had been working on a cement fish pond project right up until the day Zeb vanished. Police investigated, and when they broke through the concrete, they found fabric, hard fragments, and bags of mysterious powder resembling lime. Then, in 2017, Robert Jason Owens was indicted for first-degree murder. In 2022, Owens accepted a plea deal, pleading guilty to accessory after the fact to first-degree murder. and the murder charge was dropped. Owens claimed a now-deceased relative committed the killing, meaning no one has ever been convicted of actually murdering Zeb Quinn. Zeb Quinn has never been found. According to Robert Jason Owens' statements as a part of his plea deal, he claimed his uncle, Walter Eugene Owens, who died in 2017, actually killed Zeb. In Owens' account, he said Gene was hired by the jealous boyfriend of a woman Zeb was romantically interested in to kill Zeb, essentially alleging a love triangle motive and that Gene shot Quinn, then burned the body. However, prosecutors were skeptical of the story. There is no independent evidence publicly confirming that Gene Owens committed the murder or that the suggested romantic relationship motive was real, because Gene Owens is deceased and no one else was ever charged with actually killing Zeb. The precise motive behind his death remains unproven and speculative despite Owens' allegations. To this day, there are so many unanswered questions. And the woman in this haunting sketch may be the key to what really happened. But I gotta know, what are your thoughts on this mysterious disappearance? What should have been a 7-hour drive home turned into a 30-hour mystery filled with bizarre stops. Then Bryce Laspisa vanished without a trace. Late August 2013, 19-year-old Bryce made a decision. He broke up with his girlfriend. But after this conversation, he made the decision to drive home, a 500-mile trip south to see his parents in Orange County. His parents didn't know that yet. Friends said leading up to his disappearance, Bryce had been acting strangely. The next day on August 29th, Bryce's mother, Karen, got a notification from her insurance company. Bryce had called for roadside assistance. He'd run out of gas in Button Willow, a small town in Kern County. Fuel was delivered, problem solved. Except hours passed, and Bryce never left. He just stayed there, sitting in his car, staring. Karen knew something wasn't right, so she called the owner of the service station, asking him to go check on her son. He went back, and Bryce was still sitting there in the same spot. This owner encourages Bryce to keep driving. And this is when Karen finally gets to talk to her son. Bryce told his mom that he's heading home and this drive should have taken about 3 hours. But 3 hours passed, then four, then more. Bryce had still not made it back home. Karen and her husband Mike panicked and they reported Bryce missing. Police pinged Bryce's phone and it was still in Kern County. Later that evening around 7 p.m., a Kern County police officer found Bryce, parked only a few miles from where he had been all day. This officer checked on him and said he seemed calm, polite, sober, nothing illegal, nothing alarming. So the officer left. Then the last phone call. At 2:08 on August 30th, Bryce called his mom saying he was tired and says he's pulled off onto Interstate 5 to rest. Karen tells him to make sure he locks his doors. Bryce described where he was and it sounded like a residential area. And what happened after this phone call is a mystery. This was the last time she ever spoke to her son. Hours later, Karen heard the doorbell ring. She thought it was Bryce and that he had finally made it home. It wasn't Bryce. It was a California Highway Patrol officer, and in that moment, her life changed forever. The officer told her Bryce's SUV had been found in Castaic, about 90 miles south of Button Willow. The vehicle was on its side. Inside the car, police found Bryce's phone, his wallet, his laptop, everything except Bryce. The only thing that was missing were the clothes he had been wearing. There was blood on the windshield, likely from the impact. Police believed Bryce had climbed from the front seat through the back and out the rear hatch, which meant one thing. Bryce was still alive when he got out. That morning, Bryce's father went to the crash site, and the case was transferred to the LA County Sheriff's Department. And there was a massive search. Helicopters, boats, dogs, divers, planes. But there was no trace of Bryce. No footprints, no sightings, no trail. Bryce had seemingly vanished without a trace. Police later told Karen that Bryce seemed fine. No intoxication, no drugs found, nothing suspicious in the car. And ever since, Bryce's family has had to live with no answers, no closure. Bryce disappeared after hours of phone calls, police checks, and a survivable car crash. So what happened after he walked away? Where is Bryce? Let me know your thoughts in the comments because this mystery is still unsolved. And someone somewhere had to have seen something. What are your thoughts on these mysteries? Let me know in the comments.